I remember Maley brought up a photo of Jesse McCartney, and I
don't want another pretty face. I don't want just yeah. That was a time. Yeah.
The thing that was in that everyone was doing was dyeing their hair, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I decided to
ice blonde.
Yeah, a little bit. Not
just
quite
a tuft.
Ice. Yeah, bro. Yeah.
How did I pick it?
But often people that I talk to about like maybe trouble with calling have a maybe a little bit of problem of like giving their life up.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like, oh, I don't feel like God's calling me. It's like, yeah, but you know, I love big cities. I'm not going to live. You know, I have to have a 6-figure paycheck. Like I have to have these things. Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, young adults? Welcome along to this special YA podcast that we've got going here today. Stoked to have you along. Thanks for tuning in, whatever way you're doing that, whether you're on your YouTube or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, it's great to have you along. And we're in for a treat today because I have next to me somebody who I just love, but many of you probably are still getting to know around the place, and that is our new youth pastor, Ezra Meehan, and I'm just really stoked to be able to sit down for a conversation with him today. And we're going to look at a whole bunch of things, but mainly we thought it would be helpful today to talk about calling. What is this thing that we call calling? Many of us, as we kind of come up through these young adult ages, we're stressing about that. What is our calling? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? And so I'm real keen to talk to Ezra. I know he's got a cool story around this, and we're just going to talk about this. What is our calling? How do we know what it is? And should we be stressing about it in the first place? And so looking forward to that. But first of all, welcome onto the podcast, bro.
Thanks, bro.
Great to have you here. This has kind of been a long time coming, really.
Yeah, I'm just stoked to get the invite. I'm stoked to be here.
Yeah, so good. And it's been mean to just get to know you a bit as you've come into the youth role, and really cool to see what you're doing in that space. And I think that's probably why it's taken so long to get here, is just because you've just had a packed term with youth, and you've just finished up this Friday, so that must feel good.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. It, like you say, it's been packed. Like I've just been coming and straight into it, like hit the ground running. So, yeah, I've kind of caught my breath this week for the first kind of time. So,
yeah,
it's cool.
So cool. And just so good. We were up at Highland Home. What was that? A couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, like
now,
a month ago now.
Oh, a month ago.
Yeah, crazy.
But man, that was such a cool time. They had the CY camp. And so cool to see the youth just pack that place out and see salvations, bro. It's so cool to see what God's doing through the youth ministry at the moment. So well done. Well done on reaching the end of your first year.
Yeah. And, first 6 months.
First 6 months. Yeah. But, you know.
We'll count it, though.
The end of the school year.
Yeah.
And, man, there's big things ahead. But, hey, man, as I said, a lot of people will be getting to know you. Mm. You're new around Crossroads still. And YA, maybe you haven't come into contact with you much as well. Mm. You've got a young family, and so you're at morning church most of the time. And so I thought it'd just be cool to really just start and talk about maybe some of your story and get to know you a little bit in that sense, like where you've come up from. And even as we're talking about calling today, like how we've eventually landed at being youth pastor at Crossroads.
Yeah, so bro. Cool.
Take us through it. Like what did growing up look like for you, man?
Yes, I grew up, as you know, with a massive family. I'm one of 8 siblings.
Yeah, so this is something we have in common.
Yeah, we do. We definitely do. But I pip you on one, don't I?
By one. I thought, like, with 6 siblings, that's what I've got, eh? 6 siblings. Yeah, you literally lose count.
You do.
I thought with 6 siblings that I would, you know,
I
never really come into contact with people that have more, at least in New Zealand.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Yeah, here
so
we
got
are.
7.
Yeah, I got
8
7.
8 of you all up.
Yep. So I got 5 sisters, 2 brothers.
Yep.
I fall number 6. So way down in the pecking order, kind of just did as I was told, get in line or get wrecked kind of thing, you know. Growing up, man, it was fun. Like always someone to hang out with, you know. Like there was never really boring moments. School holidays were like next level, massive water fights.
Yeah, yeah.
I would head down to the park and just play massive games. It was just, it was sick.
Ball what tag. Was that like literally as a packed house? Like, were you living in like a 10 bedroom house, or were you all packed in like sharing bedrooms? Was it that kind of experience?
Yeah, bro. We actually had a 3-bedroom house, get this. And then mum and dad turned the garage into another 2 bedrooms.
Wow.
So it was a 5-bedroom house all up, but still do the math, 10 and 5 doesn't really work out. So yeah, I was sharing a bedroom right up until like the age of 16, bro. Then got my own bedroom.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Look, that was my family. We, like, my dad would be finding all these kind of crafty ways. We had like a sleep out that, well, I think it was the garage as well, that got converted into a sleep out. We had two of the boys out there. I was sharing a room with my sister actually for quite a long time, and dad built a like a bookshelf in between, in the room to split the room. So we had our own rooms. Man, you just have to get crafty.
But
my dad, right, he grew up in that family. So he grew up in a family of 6 kids, and they lived in a 2-bedroom house.
Yeah, wow.
Like they had people out in caravans.
Yeah. And it was so common back then, though.
Like, I guess it was.
Big families and small houses, they kind of just made it work. And that was like my parents, this is the crazy thing. We had 8.
Yeah.
And then, like, as soon as my older 2 brothers moved out, dad would find kids from the boxing gym to bring in. Yeah. And, like, so the house was never not full. Because if it wasn't, there would be people come stay.
But I love that culture.
So do I.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I wouldn't change a thing, bro.
Yeah,
I
love 100%. It. Yeah. Right, so, packed house.
Yeah, packed house. And, bro, like, faith was just always there, you know, like mum would like drag us out of bed in the morning, mum take all 8 of us off to church on a Sunday morning, and like while we're on faith, like I just, a core memory for me is I was always the first up, like, you know, 5:30 I was up out of bed. I actually got the nickname Rooster growing up, because
that.
I was like up, I'd get bored and I'd start waking everyone up, so my siblings didn't enjoy it too much. And I got the nickname Rooster.
5:30, bro.
Yeah, bro. And I don't know why. My parents would try to put me to bed later. I'd still wake up.
Is that you now? Is that still you?
Nah. Well, yes, because I got 2 kids.
But not by choice.
But not, nah, definitely not. Like, I'd say probably 7 is a bit more of a natural wake up for me now. But yeah, no. Kind of stopped around teenage years, as you do.
Yeah.
But bro, a core memory, I'd get up, be the first one up, and without a doubt, I actually tell a lie because I wasn't the first up, because my mum would be up reading the Bible on the couch.
That's
cool. Every morning without fail.
That's the sort of thing that just imprints on you, eh?
That's just, it's massive. Like, that's what I want to do for my kids. Like, the first thing
that example.
Yeah. Because that's what it was. Like, I knew that, and I've seen my mum walk through some battles, and I know where her strength comes from.
That's cool.
Because of her quiet time.
That's great.
So,
that's great.
It's been massive for me.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah,
awesome. So packed house, right? Tell me more. So you've got so boxing's a big part of your story, right? How does that fit in?
Yeah, so dad grew up in a pretty rough kind of upbringing. And when he was real young, his old man, my granddad, took him along to a boxing gym. He loved it, and kind of boxing was a part of his life since he was about 8 years old.
Cool.
So he grew up, he fought, he did all of that. And then when I was obviously a baby, and me and my siblings, he started coaching and kind of ran his own gym. So literally from the day I was born, my dad's run a boxing gym.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a given, you know, like it started off in our garage. So I would walk out, you know, 6 o'clock at night just before bed, be in my jammies watching all these guys do boxing. So it was kind of like, you see something that much, you want to do it.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it, and I just chased that for a very long time.
Is that a flex, going to school as like a boxer?
Yeah, like for me it was like something that it just always was in my life, so I didn't think of like, oh, I'm the boxer.
Yeah.
But definitely everyone else,
but
would
that
kind
gave
of
you
say
some status.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't like to
So was that something that all of your brothers caught on to, or is that just you, or like were you definitely the one that took that the furthest?
Nah, like me and my 2 older brothers are like, they're the first 2 born, and I'm number 6. So there's like an 8-year gap between me and them.
Yep.
One of them took it real far. Like, he represented New Zealand. He did it all. So he definitely took it the furthest. My other brother kind of did it for a little bit. He chose rugby. He went to rugby. That was cool because he was really good at it. And then I kind of just, I ran with boxing. But definitely, like,
we always talk about the rankings, and I don't quite stack up to my brother. And he'll love to hear that too.
Yeah. Is your brother a much bigger guy?
Probably like adult. Like obviously he always was when we were growing up, and we would spar because I was always like, I reckon I'm ready to take you now. We'd spar. He'd give me a hiding. We actually have this thing like every second year we see him for Christmas and we do an annual spar. And I reckon I got him this year. So I'll have to keep you updated.
Bro, and you're looking good this year.
Oh, thanks, bro. Yeah. Thanks.
For those who don't know, we did a what did we call it? 45 day?
Yeah, we couldn't quite commit to 75.
We couldn't commit to 75 hard, and we couldn't even commit to 45. The hard part of that, really. Yeah. We sort of softened it and came up with our own thing in the office. Yeah. And Ezra's done well. I fell off the rails, eh? Christmas got to me.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm not doing well, but you've done incredibly well and you're looking
thanks.
Good, bro.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah.
I had to, like there was a point where I was like, man, I need to change something.
It changes your thinking as well. Like, I think that's what I found is like, is just getting out in the mornings and making me do like myself do some exercise just changes actually how my day goes.
Yeah.
But I appreciate like having a family that makes that so much harder. Bro. Yeah. So good definitely. On you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So tell me, okay. So we've got kind of those boxing years, you've, got your beautiful wife, Maylee, and a family, and you're only young, you're 26.
Yeah.
And you got two boys, Judah and Jaira, and, love having them around the place as well. Where did that slot in, bro? You obviously got things done quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually crazy. So me and Maylee grew up in church together.
Yeah.
Went to the same church, and we were always kind of in that same friend group because we were the same. Well, she was the year older than me at high school, but it was kind of just we kind of hung out together.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where like she was always there, but I was kind of like, I think that's probably a step above my like here's my pay grade, and she's probably a step above. So she was always
there.
That's
the kind of girl you want to marry.
That's right, bro. Yeah. And so you can imagine when I noticed her first look, I snatched her straight away.
Yeah.
And I have not let her go since and run with her. But yeah, bro, like so I think we started dating, around 15. I was 15, she was 16. And bro, we were young and we definitely have been through a fair bit. I think like around kind of just stepping out of high school, we went through some things like through no fault of our own that really forced us to like mature, grow up. And it was kind of probably the point where it was like, if we're going to get through this, then we're in this for the long run. Like if we decide to get through this together, then this is us deciding that we're like building a future together. And we kind of like, I remember we had that conversation and we were like, yep, let's go for it. First year out of high school, I decided to get the knee dirty and and the rest is kind of history, bro. Married at 20.
Crazy. Well, we say crazy, right? That's probably used to be more of the norm. But in today's day and age, that's a unique story, right? And it's crazy to think, even just, you know, being 26 yourself, you guys have already done a lot of life together, right?
Yeah.
And you've through some stuff, as you said. Yeah. And I just think about me as an 18, 19 year old when you were preparing to get married, and just thinking how immature I was. And you've done that together, right?
Yeah. That's it, bro. Like, because I was still immature.
Yeah.
And I take my hat off to her every day because, like, she has been through, I've put her through some stuff. Just classic, like, young.
Just being a young guy.
And she is so loyal and so like just.
But I'm sure you could attest, right? Your marriage is all the stronger for
100%, 100%,
and that's so cool.
Yeah.
So, man, let's talk faith. So, obviously, we've heard a little bit of your growing up. We heard those early years where you're watching your mum kind of at the kitchen table with her Bible in the mornings. What did faith mean to you in the early years? You're a church kid. Was there one point in time where things changed for you and you became a follower of Jesus and that you can kind of remember from that day forward? Or what did that story look like?
Yeah, I often think about this in terms of like testimony. Mm. And I used to, if you had asked me this story like 3 years ago, I would have said, oh, I don't really have a testimony because of that. Like I grew up in faith. And I've never really wandered away. I've obviously lived kind of probably in the gray area.
Yeah.
But I've always known that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Yeah. And I've always kind of lived with that. Now though, I kind of realize that it's kind of been every step of the journey that has built my testimony. Yeah. So I remember I came home from children's church on a Sunday one morning, and I said to Mum, what does it actually mean to give your life to Jesus? And she kind of explained it a little bit, and on the couch, much like this, I gave my life to Jesus as a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
And it's one of my earliest memories, and I don't think that's a mistake that it's one of my earliest memories. I hold it so, I can remember the prayer, everything.
That's cool.
And then kind of growing up in children's church, youth group, I just always had that faith. I think what probably changed for me is it was kind of a faith for what can God do for me?
Right.
So boxing being a massive part, I was wow, I know I can do well because I've got God with me.
Sure.
And it was all about what can he do for me?
Yep.
And I do remember, if we talk about a moment where it kind of changed, in terms of encounter with the Holy Spirit, it was always kind of in a room, very, very similar to the 6 p.m. night church. You're in praise and worship and you feel the Holy Spirit, you feel the presence. But I'd never felt that away from the room.
Right, yeah.
And I was kind of not doubting, is that?
Well, you wonder if that's emotionalism.
Exactly.
If that's just in a moment, the music was good or the preacher was good and I've got the feels.
Exactly, bro.
Yep.
And then I remember I was 16 years old. I was in my bedroom. I was going through some things, teenage things that teenagers go through. And I was I just got on my knees and I was Lord, I know you are real. This isn't me saying, are you real? I know you are real, but would you just come and just show me just once?
Yeah.
And I remember he filled me with the Holy Spirit, the same as in those moments.
That's cool.
And what it changed for me is well, Jesus has come and met me when I'm on my own in my room. Then everything becomes, I see it in a different light now.
Yeah.
So in terms of a moment that would, but there's been so many moments like that. That's just an example. So in terms of a testimony, it's just what he's done throughout my life in little moments, I can testify for God's provision. So much. I mean, getting married at 20.
Yeah.
There has to be some provision from God there.
Yeah.
Becoming a dad for the first time at 23. Yeah. There has to be some provision there.
Yeah.
Stepping into a classroom as a teacher on a placement at 18 years old, there's got to be some provision there. So so many times throughout my life, I can just see God's provision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
And, I just listening to that, I think there's almost a parallel between sort of our relationship with God and growing in that. You said that you didn't have, or you sort of had that one moment really young where you gave your life to Jesus. And then from that point, it's been a journey. Mm. But there was not really points in between that you didn't have him.
Mm.
And so what you've really been doing, it's been the theme of YA this year, is just growing up in your faith.
Yeah.
And I love that we, grow in our faith, but our salvation was secured at that early point, and from there we're not earning some greater status of salvation, but we're growing to become more like Jesus, and in doing so that relationship becomes richer and richer and richher. There's a parallel, as I was saying, I reckon even in your marriage with Maylee, right, is that you got married at a young age and you've been through a lot together, but that's just getting better and better and better. Yeah. It doesn't make you more married.
No.
But it makes that marriage and that relationship even richer.
Yeah.
And I love that. I think that's our relationship with God, that, hey, our salvation is secured, but we got to keep working to make this grow and flourish into all that it can be.
Yeah.
And that's really cool that's been your story, that you're growing in that.
Yeah.
And what a blessing, eh? I mean, we've got, I guess, a similar testimony in the fact that we grew up in big Christian households. Mm. But what a blessing to grow up in those environments, eh? I think that has set me up for so much in this life, because I had parents that were examples to me.
Yeah.
Those parents where we would see them reading the Bible, where they would, lead prayer at the dinner table. And that's what I want to be for my family one day, because, man, the foundation that gives you in life is such a blessing.
Yeah.
Cool, man. So hitting from there, right? You're kind of, you've been at school, you've been the big guy that's doing boxing. He's the man. Everybody loves him.
Okay.
You know, and so from there, you're kind of moving into a phase where many of the young adults will be coming out of kind of church youth group, all of those sorts of things, and moving into the real world. What does that period look like?
Yeah. So, and I mean, I know we're talking calling, so yeah. I'm kind of going to touch on it a little bit now.
Yes.
When I was kind of 12, and then again when I was like 14, were two big moments for a calling as such, where God really spoke to me and said, like, I'm going to use you as a mouthpiece for my church and as a leader. And from a real young age, I could see that, like he had given me the giftings. Like I'd win speech competitions. I would like be chosen to be student leaders. Like just those two qualities that like he had given to me, I could really see like, oh, okay, he's going to use this one day. And so stepping out of high school, it was kind of like, well, okay, God, like, is now the time that you're going to step me into this? Because if there was ever a time, now is it. Like, I don't have to be at school anymore. I've left high school.
Yeah.
Whatever I'm going to do with my future, here you go. Like, help me out here.
Yep.
And I just remember it was my dad. He said to me, like, you know, you can have this calling, but really your life and the way you live it is the calling.
Right.
Like, it's not so much what you do, it's how you do it.
Yeah.
And that was massive for me. And I thought about, okay, what is it? Why do I have this desire? Obviously, one, God gave it to me. But then what is it inside of me that I really want to do? And I realized it was just help people.
Great.
Like, I just want to help people. Great. So I looked around towards the end of high school, and I was like, what is a job that I can do, whether God takes me into leading in the church or full-time ministry? What is a job that I can do in the right now that I can help people? And I looked at, obviously, my skill set and all of that, and I decided to teach. I left high school. I studied a teaching degree. Like I said, 18, going into a classroom on a placement for a first time.
That's crazy, yeah.
So crazy, yeah. Bro.
Was that at high school or in primary school or placements would be?
Yeah, so I did a primary degree. Okay. I obviously moved into high school later on.
Yep.
But I trained in primary for the simple fact that to study to be primary was 3 years. To study for high school was four years. And I talked to my careers advisor at school, and I was like, can I go from primary to high school? He's like, yep. Can I go from high school to primary? It's harder.
Right.
So I was like, okay, well, there's the answer. I'm going to study for 3 years and be a teacher. 18 in a classroom, bro. Crazy. I'm like, you know, like you're
just
18.
A kid helping kids.
Yeah, and that's what it was, bro. Like, all of your pride has to go because you walk in and you're getting judged by a seven-year-old. You know, that'll kind
I'll
of
cut you down.
Yeah, and they do because they're so honest.
Yeah.
And I'm 18, so I'm like, you know, you're still trialing things.
Yeah.
I've just left boys' high where haircut restrictions are strict.
Oh,
so
no.
I'm growing my hair
What's
out, bro.
Rocking?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm growing my hair out. And then they were kind of like, nah, it doesn't look good on you.
How far did you grow it out?
All the way, bro.
You're like, kidding.
I went to shoulders.
Oh, I'm going to need to see photos of that.
Yeah, I can show you photos at some point. Well, actually, I might not. I might have got rid of all of them. You know, we all look back at ourselves on 18 and be like, yeah.
Bro, I had no fashion sense. Look, I'm not saying I do now, but
no, you do.
I was struggling, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had some vivid phases. Like, I even think, like, going through the ag years, like, definitely tried to kind of mold into the ag
into
style,
the farmer.
You know?
Yeah, let's go.
But I've had some phases. Anyways, let's carry on.
Well, haven't we all, though? Like, and
haven't
this is
we
the
all?
Thing.
And that's life.
But, like, to do those phases in front of a class full of seven-year-olds, I don't know if...
It's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary how, like we're both 26, and I feel like we've already seen the evolution of, like, cycles of fashion happen, like, quite, like, remarkably in our life. Like, if you look at, like, what people were wearing when we were growing up. And I remember thinking as a kid, or like as a youth, even, like, how could, like, our parents have thought that stuff was stylish when they were growing up?
Yeah.
And now that's what the kids are wearing
exactly,
now.
Exactly, bro.
And it just blows my mind how quickly things change and how quickly we become out of date. So.
Yeah. And what kind of scares me is that, like, I'm going to look back at this podcast in 5 years' time probably and think, what were we wearing?
Yeah.
That's kind of a scary thought.
It's scary, but you know what? I think I'm at the age I don't care.
Same.
Yeah.
Because I'll wear the same thing.
It's a great place to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Because anyway.
Anyways, where were we?
18.
18. Bro, that's the time.
So the thing that was in that everyone was doing was dyeing their hair, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I decided to.
Ice blonde.
Yeah, a little bit. Not just quite a tuft. Ice. Yeah, bro. Yeah.
How did I pick it?
So Maylee did it. So I'd cut my hair back
wow,
short.
Wow, she has been through it all. Yeah.
That's it was her idea, mate. Like, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, that was our biggest argument.
Yeah.
Afterwards, because she showed me, like, she was going for that kind of Justin Bieber look of, like, you know when he, like, came from the
his
long
purpose
mop?
Era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. Purpose era. And I was like, yeah, okay, I can rock it.
Yeah.
And in we went, and instead of coming out looking like a purpose Justin Bieber, I came out looking like a 2014 Jesse McCartney.
Oh, no.
And
he had his time, though. He had his time.
Yeah.
But not in 2014. No. Oh, no. Well, was. Yeah.
And not in 2017 when I was trying to do it. So,
right on.
Yeah, it was actually probably earlier. It was probably like, 2005 or something. Like, I remember Maylee brought up a photo of Jesse McCartney, and I
don't want another pretty face. I don't want just that was a time.
I bet it.
Go on. We've been training Israel how to sing.
Wow. Yeah.
And I believe he's got some raw talent in there that just needs to be developed.
That is massive. You might be the first person to ever say that.
I just want to call it out when I see it.
Wow. You want to believe it?
Yeah. Here's the thing that Israel does. I think Israel doesn't believe in himself. And so he puts on a voice. He puts on a filter to protect himself. Come on, I'm starting to preach
now. Yeah,
and he puts on a filter to protect himself from other people's honesty and judgment. But actually, there is some real talent underneath that.
That's massive.
Yeah. We'll unearth that on another day, though.
Yeah.
So,
can I audition?
Yeah. Hey, look. No. There's a time and a place for it. We'll keep developing that talent.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. We'll steward that well.
Or we won't. Yeah. Like, we'll just leave it where it is. Right. We've spent way too long talking about this already.
So tell me. So you're bleach blonde.
Yeah, I'm bleach blonde, bro. And I go to school. And the kids aren't actually that bad. It's all the other teachers there.
Yeah.
And they just, like, yeah. I never thought, as an 18-year-old, that I'd get roasted by 50-year-olds. But it happened.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
I went home and shaved it off. So in the space of like 3 months, I went from long hair to dyed hair to no hair. So
when you dyed it, you were long hair?
Like I just cut it.
Okay.
I went from long, just cut it.
Yeah. And so that's a big evolution in quite a short amount of time.
It's good, bro.
Yeah, it's good. And now we're rocking the mallet.
Yeah, again, probably I've kind of come back, right? Like, so I've come out of teaching now.
Yep.
And I'm like, wow, I can probably rock a mallet. Isn't it crazy? Like, because, you know, like, I wanted to, you know, we tell the kids at school don't have mallets. Mm. So I was kind of like, I better not have one. And then I was like, but I kind of want one.
Yeah.
So.
And it looks good.
Oh, thanks, bro. I don't know how much longer it's staying. I was saying to Maylee, like, yeah.
I think 30 is a big number, eh? 30 is a big number, and I wonder if maybe we lose permission
to do this stuff.
To do this sort of stuff. Yeah. But I could be wrong.
I thought it was more like, rather than a number, a stage of life.
Mm.
So like once I've got kids of a certain age, does
once
it just look like...
Once they're at primary school, once you're dropping them off.
Yeah, does it look like, well, their dad's trying to hold on to something? Because once I'm dropping them off, like it doesn't really matter what my number is. Like, nobody's looking at my age. They're just like, oh, that's a dad of a primary school kid trying to hold on to a mallet. Yeah. Get rid of it, bro.
This is good stuff. So you get into teaching. How long are you in that? What's God teaching you in that? Do you feel like you're fulfilling God's calling on your life through that?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Because, so I obviously, like, yeah, I get into teaching. I teach for 5 years. And throughout the whole process, man, I'm kind of questioning like, wow, was this word that he gave me, was it like, is teaching it? Like, am I a teacher? Because going in, I knew that teaching wasn't going to be forever.
Right.
Like that was my plan. Like I didn't plan on it being forever. I knew it wouldn't be forever, but I knew I needed to be like a good steward with it while I had it. and go really hard. And I guess what he taught me was like he was trying to prepare me for something in every different little season before I got to it, you know? And it was massive because I think knowing it would one day happen because God had told me it would happen, knowing it would, it meant that every season I walked through, it was kind of like, well, you know, if one day you're going to be a pastor and these people here in this season of life would then see you be a pastor and look back at how you are acting right now, does that bode well? And that was real convicting for me because I realized like, well, on my own, I can't do that. Like I do fall into that. And so what came out of that 5 years was just a massive reliance on God, bro.
Great.
Like one, I'm young. I'm super young teaching. Then I have young kids. Like I think just a lot of life kind of came to me at quite a young age. And I think it was just like, I can't do this on my own. I need God. And so the main thing that came out of it was just a huge reliance.
Great.
Which I now see as like, well, every day of my life now, I have to rely on God. So yeah.
I love that. I preached a message yesterday as we're filming this about God being in the details. And I think that God, when he places something on our life, that he is in the details right up until that. And I think sometimes we place the idol as reaching whatever, maybe the position, being a pastor, you know, getting a certain job, having a certain degree. We place that on the pedestal and we forget about the details that he's in preparing you for that I think are so important that I don't think we can just skip past. Imagine if we tried to be pastors at 18 years of age. I mean, a responsible leader wouldn't have led us.
No,
but,
no.
But I love how God prepares us. And, you know, for me, it probably was a bit different. I didn't have that feeling of a calling of being a pastor up until quite soon into coming into ministry. But I can look back and I can just see all the details that God was a part of and the way that he was positioning me, the circumstances he was placing me in. Even in places like farming, he was able to develop me, develop my reliance on him, put me through some hard stuff so that I could then, you know, be able to coach other people 100%. Through hard stuff. He would teach me his voice so that I would have a reliance on his voice in my life for when I went into a place where I had to shepherd others, where I had to lead others, and I'd need to know his voice in that. And so I love that he's part of those details. And if he's got something on your life, then he will prepare you for it. And he knows what he's doing and he's a part of it all. And often we don't realize it's happening at the time, which is cool.
Bro, the thing I like, I'm most grateful for is like when he called me, I thought, okay, cool. I'm going to be the youngest pastor. I'm going to be the youngest preacher.
Right.
I'm going to be, and it was all like, I'm going to be. And I didn't realize it at the time. I thought like, oh yeah, cool. Like, you know, and then I would like, I would go about it without it happening. And I would think like, oh God, why? Like I would watch other people, you know, like I've mentioned the story to when I preached down on Sunday at church about how like I had this calling that I felt like to be a pastor, and I had a passion for young people, so naturally I thought youth pastor, and then I watched my brother who had never ever even had an inkling or talk about it at all become a youth pastor, and for me that just cut to a whole new level. But what I realized looking back is like I was all about like me, you know, like I said, youngest this, youngest that. And I would watch other young guys get up. I'd go to a conference and see an 18-year-old get up and preach and be like, oh, so I could do it. Like there's no like law that I can't do it. So like there's room for me. God just use me. I'm here. But what he was actually teaching me is like what I want to use you for is like I need none of you and it needs to be all of me. And I think that's what it was, a season of just really stripping away like my desire, my want. And like, 100% I'm living in what I always wanted to do. But if I'm honest, bro, about a year ago, 2 years ago, the kind of desire to become a youth pastor kind of fell away.
Interesting.
And it's so funny you were just saying it, it made me think of it because a pastor of mine, you know, maybe 5 years back said to me, Ezra, the day that you kind of let it go will be the day that God starts to make it happen.
That's great.
And I kind of let it go without even realizing I let it go. And it's so funny because about 6 months before this whole thing happened, where I became a youth master at Crossroads, I was in the shower doing my quiet time, because with kids, you kind of look for the time to get away. Yeah. And it popped into my head like, oh, whoa, like, would I ever be a youth pastor again? Like, I haven't, like,
thought about it.
And I was like, oh, probably not, to be honest.
Wow.
Crazier. And then it's like, and then the next 6 months, I just can't even describe, bro. It was, it was a wild journey of the next 6 months of like almost God calling me into something again, but with less of me being like, oh yeah, I can do this. Because it was like, no, God, I can't do this. I need all of you to be able to do this. Wow. So
that's massive, good, bro. Massive. I love how God does that for us. He prepares us in the right way, as I was saying before. And sometimes that's a cutting down of taking us out of the desire, because many times I think they start as a God dream, but when we place so much of our own aspiration and our own pride in that, then it can just become so polluted. Yeah. And sometimes I think he's just got to strip that out of us. And I think that honestly takes place over and over and again, you know, like he's done that for you in this stage of life, but you know, I've seen it happen in multiple areas of my life that he continues to remind me, hey, remember your reliance on me. Yeah. And I think that it hurts in the moment, but it's so healthy because it creates us to be healthy leaders.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. I don't want to put you on the spot, but just as we're talking about this, I wonder if you have any thoughts around how, you know, people who know that they've got it in them to be a leader. I think it's healthy for them to have aspiration, to want to do well, to want to be as an effective leader as possible, to want to use their gifts to bring many to the Lord.
Yeah.
But I think often aspiration and pride can become so intertwined.
Yeah.
And I wonder, this early in your journey, I wonder if you've had any thoughts around how you do that responsibly, how you hold that aspiration and keep that there, because that's what's going to push us to doing the things that God has for us, but also just making sure that we're relying on God.
Yeah, bro. I check myself every day.
Yeah,
and also, like we've talked about, I've been blessed with an amazing wife who we are very honest with each other, and she helps me to check myself. And the checking myself is simply just like, am I building my own kingdom or am I building God's?
Yeah.
And it's a simple question that it's like, because if I'm building my own kingdom, all these things that I'm now concerned about, would I still be concerned about if I'm building God's kingdom?
Right.
And if the answer is no, I wouldn't, then I drop them and I don't worry myself with them. Yeah. In terms of staying like still like aspiring for it and like and going after it, I've been like, God has positioned me and I want to put my best foot forward for God every day.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like, you know, the Bible talks about in everything you do, do it as though you're working for the Lord.
Yes,
you know, and so like obviously as a pastor, I'm working for the Lord. But even if it's not to be of a pastor, like when I was teaching, it was like in everything, do it as though you're doing it for the Lord, because we are Jesus' hands and feet here.
That's good.
And I always used to just like, what if someone's interaction with me is their only interaction they get with Jesus in their life?
Yeah.
Like, am I doing a good job of representing Jesus?
Yeah.
So, yeah, in terms of like aspiring for it, I think it's like you have to, because it's who you're representing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Taking yourself out of it, it's like, but it's not for you.
Yeah.
So, like, and I guess, bro, the biggest thing is like we will do things and we will plant seeds that we will never see the fruit for.
Mm.
And I think the more I can kind of be okay with that, the easier it is to kind of lay that side down. Yeah. Like, I might plant a seed in this person that I never see the fruit of.
I think of just Moses pops into my head there, right? He never saw the promised land, but he was God's faithful servant for so many years. Yeah. He was a pivotal part of the plan, but he never walked into that promised land.
No.
And I think lots of our ministry, that's what we're called to, is we're just called to be a certain season in somebody's life. We're called to minister to their heart in this season of their life, and then they're going to move on, they're going to do incredible things. And And we were just sowing that seed, as you say. And
but how cool is it, though, that God still gives us glimpses of it? You know, like the amount of people that will come to you maybe, you know, 5 years after something. Like I remember my first year teaching, and I've got like now those guys are like finishing high school, which is crazy.
Mm.
And they come to me and be like, what you did, you know,
wow,
as my teacher, like set me up.
Yeah.
And like God doesn't actually have to show me that.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
But the fact that he's gracious
to spur you on.
Yeah. Like that's awesome. So.
Yeah. And I think this conversation has sort of led us, you know, we want to talk about calling today, and and I think it's led us there perfectly, because you talked about kind of doing everything that you do as if it were for the Lord, you know, even if we're working on a job site for a human boss, we're doing that for the Lord.
Yeah.
We're living lives that represent, we're ambassadors of the kingdom.
Yeah.
I think of even, you know, when you're at school, you're wearing the school uniform and you go out on a field trip, you know, the teachers are always telling you, hey, you are representing our school right now.
Yeah.
Well, we're representing the kingdom of God. We've got that uniform on. Mm. It should be tangible. And we've got our righteous armor on. And we've got to represent that well, whatever we do.
100%.
And so I want to talk about this idea of calling, maybe what that's looked like for you. You've talked briefly about having that kind of desire to be a youth pastor reasonably early on, but then God taking you on that journey to get there. That's looked quite unique for you, but I wonder, is there sort of a perspective of calling that you've maybe come to, and how you would maybe mentor one of your youth around what this idea of calling is?
Yeah, but it's funny because I feel blessed that God like really spoke to me and said, this is what I want you to do. But I know that that's like, you know, if we were a room full of 10 people, there may be two people in that room that feel like they have that specific calling.
Yeah.
And so I feel blessed that I have that. But what I mean, it didn't mean that I didn't go through seasons of feeling like, well, what am I doing here? Like, you know, like what is my calling right now? What is my purpose? And what I kind of came to realize in that, and I kind of touched on it, like, I think our calling is like, we all have the same calling, right? Go and make disciples of all nations.
Yeah.
God will maybe give you a specific, here's how I want you to do it. Or he may give you a specific, like, he's given all of us a specific, because it's in his word in black and white. Like, this is how I want you to live your life. And whatever you do, live your life like this. And I feel like that's so like freeing almost, like that God would be so gracious to say, go with your life, go do whatever desires, like I see desires as a funny thing, because I feel like God's the one that places those desires. So, you know,
I think it's the pollution of those desires that we allow in.
100%, bro. 100%. But and if we went to the core of the desires, and the thing that you can know, like, oh, how do I know if this desire is from God? Well, it'll align with the word. Anything that doesn't align with the word, well, it's not from God. Yeah. You know? Like, I can't think of an example off the top of my head. But, you know, so like if I'm like looking at the desires in my heart and I'm going after it, and I feel like I'm kind of like, I know that there was a podcast earlier in the year that kind of touched on this as well. But I think it's so true that, you know, God's given me that freedom to go out like, oh man, I'm really good with numbers. I really have a passion for numbers.
Yeah.
I feel like working in a bank would be awesome. Cool. Right. Go.
Great.
And show that whole bank Jesus.
Great.
So it's the way, is that making sense? Is that kind
of? It's making a lot of sense. Yeah. And I think one of the ways that I've started to look around it is that, you know, we are called to become more like Jesus, but we're not all called to become a carpenter.
And, that's right.
And so, you know, in trade at least. And so there are so many facets of Jesus and of God that we are built into us as individuals. Each of us are unique, but each of us represent the character of God in some way, because we scripture says that we are made in his image.
Yeah, that's right.
And so he has put individual gifts and abilities that are of him and are part of him into us. So just think about how God is a creator. He's made some of us creators. He's a designer. He's made some of us designers. He's a leader. He's made some of us incredible leaders. And I think that, you know, if you're stressing out thinking, what's my calling? The best thing that you could do is just figure out, like, what are these like raw abilities and talents that I just seem to be able to do naturally?
Yeah.
Okay. And then because they're given to me by God, they're not a selfish thing. Well, how can I make them not a selfish thing? How can I use that in my life to then advance the kingdom? That might be going and being a designer for a design firm and spreading Jesus there and living an upright life there, living a different culture within that workplace than that workplace has as a culture. Or it might be going and working for a church somewhere as a as a designer for them. But figure out how you could maybe just use that stuff that you know that you're just that extra bit good at to advance his kingdom.
Yeah.
But don't stress about, you know, having like a divine word in the shower one morning that this is where you must go. Just start with, hey, what am I good at? What has God gifted me with that would be in his character?
Yeah.
And how can I use that for him and not me?
Yeah. And like you kind of touched on a little bit there. Like how do you go from I'm here and like this is what God's kind of given me. But I feel like what kind of happens is we look around at what God's given other people and we think, oh, that would be better for my life.
Yes.
And comparison, that's the thing that kills, right?
Like
it's a saying, right? Yeah, comparison robs. And the devil would love nothing more than for you to think what you've got.
Yep.
God didn't make you unique. Like that's not something that he can use. But it's like the Bible tells us we're the body of Christ.
Yeah.
He doesn't need us all to be hands.
Yeah.
Doesn't want us all to be feet.
Yeah.
Doesn't want us all to be, you know, like he wants us to be the different parts.
Yeah.
And I think like for me in a season of like, you know, yes, I had this calling, but there were definitely times I questioned it, man.
Right.
Like, was I like, okay, God, was this a calling or was I kind of caught up in a moment? Like there was 100% and every time he'd bring me back to it. So I knew it was, but in those times it was kind of like, I would often look at, you know, like, man, Jake is the man, like what he can do. Maybe that, like, if I had a voice like him, if only that would be the thing that would help me do something great for God. And it was like, no, I don't need you. If I needed you to have that, you'd have it.
And this is the thing, right? We so often want other people's calling. We so often want the gifts that he's given somebody else, when really we're wasting time, because the stuff he's given you is just as incredible. And you just got to figure out with him what that's going to look like for you, how he's going to turn your life into a force for the kingdom. And you know what? I think the most important thing in all of this, when we talk about the word calling, I think really we should be just hearing the consistent voice of God in our lives. That's the calling.
I'm glad that we brought need. It. Yeah.
And so I think even as us, we might, people might look at us and say, well, they're operating in their calling. They've been called to be pastors. But the honest truth of it is while I would love to be a pastor for the rest of my life, what I'm going to be doing is listening to the voice of God every day. And it was the voice of God that led me to this place.
Amen.
And it would be the voice of God that would lead me out of it if he wanted something different for me.
Yeah.
And so I am malleable to using the gifts and abilities that he's given me to serve him however he wants me to serve him.
Yeah.
And so it's this idea of listening for his voice and having the submission and obedience to then act on his voice. And so, whatever you have for me, Lord, with what you've given me, then I'll go.
Yeah.
And that'll quickly... give you a good dose of humility when 100%. You realize that often that means you'll be going places that you didn't see for your life. Wasn't in the 5-year plan, wasn't in the 10-year plan, because he's got something different and a different way to use those abilities and the gifts that he's given you.
Yeah, bro. And like you say, like listen for God's voice. Like, you know, and the ultimate thing that comes to mind there is just submission.
Yes.
Right? Like when you say like, you know, if God is the one that wants to pull me out, like, I don't want to leave Crossroads, you know? So if God was to turn around and say, I want you to go somewhere else, it's a matter of like, well, is it my life or is it his?
Yeah.
You know, am I in control of this or is he?
Right.
And am I going to submit this or am I going to dig my toes in and go, nah, I don't think that's for me, God, I'm going to stay here. And often people that I talk to, and not to call anyone out, but often people that I talk to about like maybe trouble with calling have a maybe a little bit of problem of like giving their life up.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, like it's like, oh, I don't feel like God's calling me. It's like, yeah, but, you know, I love big cities. I'm not going to live, you know, I have to have a six-figure paycheck. Like I have to have these things. Yeah. But it's like, wow, maybe God's voice is that little whisper over there that's telling you, stop worrying about the big city. Mm. Stop worrying about the paycheck. Stop worrying about all these things. Mm. And then you might find that his voice becomes a little bit clearer. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because, bro, if I'm honest, like, When I felt like God would call me into a youth pastor role, did I think it would be in a church across town? Like, I thought if I was going to be a pastor in Palmerston North, it would be at the church that I came from.
Right.
Right?
Right.
If not, I'd be outside of Palmerston North. Mm. I didn't see it happening in a church across town.
Yeah.
Like, I was, you know, and it's like, but what I had to do is like, well, God, if this is you, then I need to submit my own thoughts, my own ideology around how this will look and put it aside. You take the wheel, literally, and we'll see where we end up.
Very good.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that idea of just full submission. And you're right. I think sometimes we can come into life and we build up a checklist of things that we want to get accomplished. And it's like, hey, God, like, if you could come and help me accomplish these things, if you could come and, just be a part of this and I'll be at church on Sundays. I'll be on the welcoming team and everything will be good if I can go and accomplish my dream, Monday through to Friday. But really our lives are his. Mm. Every breath that he gives us, he's given us, it belongs to him. And that is, I think, if you're trying to work out, hey, what's my next step? What's my calling? And this kind of young adult stage of life, it's the first thing you need to get your head around is that my whole life is his. If he told me to move here to this place, then I would move there to that place.
Yeah.
And I'm going to listen for his voice and I'm going to move when he speaks.
Yeah.
It sounds simple.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
No.
Both of us would have been in many a situation where we've turned away and chosen other ways. But ultimately I know even at this stage of my life that any time that I have submitted to God and given him my yes, it's turned into the greatest blessings of my life.
Exactly.
And so I'm going to keep trusting him and I'm going to keep listening for his voice. And I think every podcast we've ever done for young adults has turned back to that, is like learn the voice of God in your life and that will be the best thing to equip you. But it truly is the case.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy about that. I'm glad to talk about that over and over again.
100%.
You gotta know the voice of God in your life.
Yeah.
What does that take? That takes getting into the quiet place. Yeah. It takes being a little bit awkward as you figure it out.
Yeah.
It takes sitting down, reading your word, getting to know it, figuring out a Bible study and just putting in the work to just hear from God, because it will change the way you live.
100%.
It might make your life more difficult in the world standards, but it'll the blessings it will bring will be above and beyond anything you could have dreamed of.
And just like one more thought on that, bro. Like, what I've found is when God does, like, you know, when his voice speaks to you about something that maybe you're kind of like, oh, I don't know, is that he always provides the ways. You know, like he never speaks to you about do this or go here or, you know, give up that without providing you the means to do it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because I think our thought is always like, what, you want me to move there, or you want me to, you know, like give up this job to do that? Like, and we always think, but what about this? Like, how will I do this? You know, you know, how will I have the money to do that? How will I, you know, all these things, how am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to do these things?
Yep.
And somehow God, not even somehow, like, because he's God and he loves us and he would never call us into something and then just drop us and leave us.
That's right.
You know,
yeah,
he goes with us every step. And I just,
if he asks it, he'll provide for
exactly
it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I love that. God is so good. Ezra, I have loved having this conversation with you, and I personally have just, yeah, gained so much out of this. Mm. And I'm grateful that you've spent the time with us today. I wonder, just as we begin to wrap up, what are you excited about, man? What are you looking forward to? Yeah, man.
Yep.
Coming into the new year, what's God teaching you? What's he got you excited about?
Honestly, like, excitement is the funny way, but and we've talked about it, and maybe it's going to sound a little bit cheesy, but what I've learned over the last 6 months of being in ministry is it was just a confirmation of what God has, you know, been teaching me this whole time. Mm. Is like, I just need to rely on him fully.
Yeah.
You know, everything. And I've seen it even on Friday nights where, like, I've gone in and I've kind of like haven't really spent my time, my quiet time that day, or haven't really talked to God about even the plan, about even like, I'm going to go, like, we're going to go, you know, 2 praise songs and then do them. Like, honestly though, like, I find like when I try to kind of do it on my own,
they
are the nights where I get home and I'm just like smashed.
Gotcha.
But when it's the opposite and it's like I take God with me every step of the way, and I've kind of changed the way I look at it, is like it's not here's what I'm doing, God, would you come with me? It's what do you want to do here, God, and how can I help you to do that? You know, use me to do that. When I do that and I fully rely on him, I get home at the end of the night and I'm like, let's do it again tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so what I'm excited for 2025 is like not only myself, but encouraging the other leaders around me, encouraging youth, encouraging young adults, encouraging Crossroads.
Yeah.
Let's just have a full reliance on God.
Yeah.
And watch what he does in 2025. Like, if we could just, like, we talk about submission, but if that, what does that look like to submit everything and to fully rely on God? Like, am I doing this in my own strength or am I doing this in his strength? I can't even fathom what next year could look like if we could really hold a grasp of that. So,
well, I don't know, man, but it's going to be big. It's going to be huge. Yeah. And God is going to move because he's good. He's faithful.
He is.
And when we give ourselves to him, man, that is an exciting thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
And man, I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to 2025.
Yeah.
And thank you so much, man, for coming on.
Yeah.
Thanks
for having me, bro.
This has been so cool. And thank you for listening and watching today. We hope it found you well. And so make sure you give it a like, subscribe wherever you're watching or listening. But thanks for coming along for this conversation. Young adults, we're praying for you as you're seeking to live out lives of calling and knowing the voice of God and living in submission to what he asks of you. And so we love you. Thanks for listening. And we will catch you next time. See you later.